cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. It's good to see you.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Friday morning. What's left of it? Time permitting, we could get in a text or two, 251-343-0106. Joining us now here, we do this every week. It's Friday. It's finally Friday. But State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, is with us on the program. Senator, how are you?
I am doing well. Glad to be with you and not in Montgomery. Interesting week with budget hearings and all that, but it's Labor Day weekend. Here we go.
Any tidbits from there that we need to know about on those budget hearings?
You know, I think it's not anything that's surprising, but things that are of note and we should pay attention to, and that is that, you know, we're seeing a lag because we're always behind in revenues and what's coming in, but we're starting to see things pretty flat. Or flatten out some. We had a huge trajectory of increased revenues and a lot of increased spending on the federal level through the Biden administration that was really driving costs up, but driving revenues up as well. And so that's slowed down or stopped. Actually, that's obviously stopped. And so that's having some impacts. There was a lot of money in the bank. The state had a lot of money in the bank that came from the Fed, and that was invested wisely in the interest bearing. Accounts. And as we see the prospect of A, those accounts being, emptied as that money is spent, and then B, interest rates probably dropping under the Trump administration, we'll have less income based on that interest. So just trying to make sure we pay very close attention to the state's revenues and the state's budgets and implement very good, solid, conservative budgeting methods that keep us out of trouble in the future.
That's what they do. These agencies, they want to get their appropriation, and they want to make it seem like there's a need there. So they go on a spending spree if there's money left over, which is probably not the best government.
Well, it's not. And I will say one thing that we've done, while there has been a lot of excess money in the system, again, mainly from federal programs, is we've been very careful to make sure that we spend that one-time money one time, right? And so that it's not, even though it was there, and certainly you don't necessarily want to turn it away, but make sure you don't have recurring commitments over it. And I think we're going to start seeing probably some locals that haven't done things like that. And so we will see some state agencies say, well, if we're going to continue this program, we need more state money. And the answer to that's going to be no, because not just because we don't necessarily need to continue the program, but because, we're not the federal government. We can't print money. We're not going to print money. And we're not going to continue programs that don't have, have that federal funding anymore. It's just not something we're going to be able to do.
Well, and are we finally seeing the heyday, the high cotton days of state government? You mentioned kind of a flattening of revenue, but we were talking for years about a dip or even, some kind of economic calamity potentially, and had to be bracing for that. And I mean, not that the economy's humming along on all cylinders, but it certainly hasn't been, like 2008 or whatever, like it was during the housing crisis.
No, not at all. And look, when we start talking about revenues to the state, we're talking about things that have already happened, right? So these are the impacts of things that have already happened. These are income tax receipts, property tax receipts, and things from valuations that took place a year ago. And so what we're seeing is things start to kind of peak and I will say slow down. I do not anticipate necessarily a recession, but we are starting to see the trajectory of increases slow down and much more modest growth in those budgets. The problem is the Biden administration and their crazy spending policies really created a huge inflationary environment that all your listeners and my constituents have seen and felt in their pockets, right? Well, the same is true for government. So everything has cost more. Roads and bridges cost more. Prisons cost more. Everything has cost more. And so while we see things start to flatten out, we also see the costs continue to rise. And that's the hangover from a Biden administration and an absolutely crazy spending spree. And so that will continue to impact the state and its budgets for years to come.
Senator, and I don't know if you are aware, and we talked about it. We've been talking about it a lot on this show this morning. So the Alabama High School Athletic Association has chosen has decided that the CHOOSE Act is a benefit, and that makes players ineligible for 1 year. Now, I don't know the specifics of the CHOOSE Act, but didn't you guys put in language to make sure that the High School Athletic Association would not interpret the law this way?
You know, I'll have to go back and look at that act specifically to see that. I've seen a couple of things in my inbox this morning about that. I mean, the High School Athletic Association ought to be looking for ways to allow kids to play, not to prevent kids from playing. That needs to be a completely different, you know, mindset over there that they have. And unfortunately, it just doesn't seem to be the case. And so I need to go back and look at that statute. I can promise you it's not going to be – I won't be the only one as this continues to impact people. But kids should not make education choices based on their ability to play ball. That's ridiculous. They need to be able to make the best education choice for them to get an education, and then we'll talk about, you know, whether or not we can play ball. The answer should be more yes than no.
Well, I guess that a ruling, and they waited to the last minute to make this, that the Heath Harmon has said that under Rule 6, Section 7, these students who are getting quote-unquote financial aid or assistance are ineligible for a year, and that includes school choice program funds.
That's quite an interesting way to interpret that, especially since those are dollars that are state dollars and were going to go to whatever public school or entity they were doing anyway. They're playing a dangerous game, dangerous political game, in my opinion. When they start inserting themselves into public policy discussions related to school funding.
Well, and so Senator, I agree with you. I think that they've been pushing the envelope and testing the boundaries for a lot of different reasons. And you have been out front on this and outspoken on it. Why should we believe anything's going to change though? They seem to get their way every single time.
Well, I will say this, and it does seem to be every single time, but it's not every single time. And the legislature has successfully pushed back on some things that need to be pushed back on. I will tell you, I'll give the Alabama High School Athletic Association a little bit of credit here. They've been doing a better job at issuing rulings on eligibility earlier in the season, right? So I've seen some eligibility issues being resolved prior to the start of play, as opposed to what they used to do, which was wait until the end of the season and then disqualify the entire team and all the kids and whatever else. And so they're doing a better job with that. And that's because of some of the pushes the legislature has given, frankly, threatened. And then you see other things about, the cashless or not accepting cash at a ball game for the grandparents to get in. And so we've made some changes there. But look, Jeff, you're right. There's not just work to do legislatively, but there are attitude adjustments that need to take place. And this seems to be one of those things that we really need to look at, and we really need to make sure that, that they're following the letter of the law, and not just their policies, but the statute itself, which is obviously what governs.
Well, they lobby up. They are able to kill these bills. We could talk about them, and you know how this whole game or this whole racket works. You hire the blue blood lobbying firm in town, and they got their guy in the rules committee, or they got their guy on the Democrat side willing to filibuster, and we'll say it's something on the calendar, but they wink, nod, nod, and we're going to kill this bill too. And there's all these things that they're able to do. They play the game way too well. And it makes me think, well, why should we think? Will this be the straw that breaks the camel's back, I wonder?
It very well may be. And look, I've been on the receiving end of all of those things that you just mentioned, right? I've filed, probably 7 or 8 different pieces of legislation that deal with the Alabama High School Athletic Association, only to watch many of them die in committee. Because they are effective at their lobbying efforts. But at the end of the day, when you're really challenging a statute by using your own rules, that's going to be it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And I would expect more conversation about that topic.
Well, and I think they got a stacked deck against them. I mean, we talk about the 7A classification up at Albertville, and I don't know how you feel about that, because you get a migrant influx that you can't do anything about. It's more of a national question. You have to take you can't tell school kids no, right? You have to say, yeah, you come on in, you know. That's just how it works. And another thing about it is, Senator, and you know, we spend so much money on education at the state level, right? So some of my listeners are pushing back, but I think that the legislature has buy-in here.
Well, there's no doubt that we do. And Representative Colvin had what I thought was a good bill last session that excluded, right, illegal aliens that are in this country illegally from participating or being counted for a school classification, right? They're not here legally, but the High School Athletic Association is counting them as you know, eligible students to classify, you know, what size school this is. And so that's a bill that I hope Representative Colvin will bring back. I was supportive of it last year. I'll continue to be supportive of it. And that's just what we got to do. Jeff, you know, we're going to have to continue to push back and challenge. And it ought not to be that way. It's frustrating that it is that way. But unfortunately, that's the name of the game and the name of, and that's how this organization works, right? Spending money, collected from schools, to then hire lobbyists to fight the legislature, who are really just trying to do what their constituents want and govern effectively.
That's what happens in all of state government. We have part of their operating budget. They will hire lobbyists and, you know, it's kind of weird that government lobbies government, but I know that's just how it is. So in some cases, they have their own, in-house lobbyist, right? And it's as if that the agency, we talk about the agency, you know, working against the public. Well, they're taking it to the logical extreme here, and hiring the best lobbyists in town who are not inexpensive by any stretch, and going against some of the stuff you yourself have filed.
I watch it every session. It is amazing to me to see, you know, the government, you know, lobby the legislature for or against something, to see, you know, state agencies, other, you know, arms of the government, try to lobby and influence the legislature to do or not do something. I've had as many good government, efficient government bills, you know, killed by, you know, cabinet secretaries, you know, or else, you know, I mean, you can see those types of things happen every day. It's very frustrating. It's almost one of those things you look at and you go, hold on just a second. Is this how this is supposed to work? Obviously, I think not. You know, the governor's issued some executive orders on that, and yet it still seems to persist. The most egregious, of course, and we've talked about this before, is some of these occupational licensing boards that are essentially state agencies, where the executive director is a registered lobbyist. Just let that sink in. And so it's very frustrating, but that's where we live in, and that's what we fight every day, and that's where we're at.
Well, that's more with the occupational stuff, that's more of the rule than the exception. It's not, you know, it's just people who know how to benefit from the system taking advantage of it, and I guess that's what they can do it under the law, but the law needs to be changed.
I completely agree. I'll be on year three of trying to do just that and fight the good fight and push for reform there. It's amazing to me that we continue to allow things like that to happen, and we need to fix it. We're going to keep trying. That's my job.
Senator, I was checking Facebook. I didn't see you mark safe from the municipal election cycle. did you make it out unscathed?
I did. I'm fortunate to live in the county and not in a municipality necessarily. So I didn't get to vote in any of those elections. But I think overall, you know, we had a pretty good outcome in Baldwin County. You know, things are going well, in the state and certainly in the county overall. Certainly nothing to be ashamed of. And so we've got strong leaders, back in office and some new council people, some new fresh blood, that I'm looking forward to working with, and we'll see how the transition and the and the education goes.
I know more about growth and growth moratoriums and than I ever thought I would. And I live here, and it turns out, I mean, it's a its own world, if you will.
It is the single biggest issue in Baldwin County, and will continue to be the single biggest issue in Baldwin County. We have it really good here. And as I talk to my colleagues and visit my colleagues around the state whose populations are stagnant or even declining, it is really tough to talk to them about the biggest challenge being everybody wants to be here. But that is our challenge. We just have to make sure that our local government officials have the tools that they need in order to control and regulate growth, but also respect private property rights. And Baldwin County's lucky in that both the county commission and our municipalities have way more tools from a planning and zoning and subdivision regulation, et cetera, to handle those issues than most municipalities and counties in our state.
It's been a fascinating like 4 or 5 years just to watch it and how, I mean, you know, everywhere else in the state just is clamoring for more growth. And here, and there's some other places, I you know, in North Alabama as well, where they just, we can't handle this. The infrastructure just, you know, it's bending and it might even break. In some cases has broken, but, and now I could say that I'm caught up on whatever learning curve there is to be, thanks to these municipal elections, Senator. So, I know you, but you had to deal with this as a county commissioner, so you're probably pretty well versed in it too.
Well versed indeed. It's a good problem to have. It allows us to really talk about the quality of growth and what we want to see. And again, that's why these municipal elections and the county commission elections coming up are so important, because that's who really drives that and makes sure that is under control and looking like what we want it to look like.
Senator, we appreciate your time. We'll do it again next week, but thanks for hopping on.
Thanks for having me. Y'all enjoy this soon-to-be beautiful holiday weekend, hopefully.
All right. State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Old and still, but they still smell the powder burning, and they probably always will.